Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Tonight being run in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Lakemont, Georgia, the home of Bigfoot in Georgia. So glad to be here with you. I'm Dr. John, excited to be here with my compatriots and friends, and we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about tonight. I'm going to tell you that. I guess I'll say, first of all, I'm up in Lakemont, Georgia, one of my favorite places in Rabun County. Georgia Bigfoot Conference is hosting the Rabun County Chamber of Commerce Business After Hours tomorrow, and we're going to have a packed house. We're going to be doing footprint casts with Plaster of Paris to show folks how to cast a Bigfoot footprint. We're going to have a lot of cool things going on. So if you're in and around the Clayton, Georgia area, stop by the Visitor Center right next to Ingalls, between Ingalls and Pizza Hut, and I will be there hosting the one and only Business After Hours for September, sponsored by the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We also have a 9-foot-tall statue of Bigfoot out in the parking lot, so it will be hard to miss. Dave, I don't think even you could miss it.
Yeah, 9 feet. I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't need your glow sticks either.
No, and what's great is they've got a police crossing tape, and they've got a stop sign hanging around his neck. You see, now Todd found out. Todd, when I was up there in Indianapolis with you, you found out that Dr. John sometimes just gets busy thinking and doesn't see a damn thing that's going on when he's walking in the middle of the street. Is that correct?
Oh, Lord Almighty. look, all I'm going to say is if you're going from point A to point B, sometimes there's some hand-holding involved.
That's right.
Boy, I was just like, doggone it, John. And you look at me like, really? Why are you acting like it's an epiphany to you?
I know, that's right. You know, I'm busy thinking about the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. That's all I'm thinking about now, Todd. And thank goodness I had you to get me to the front of the line at, what is it, Starfire Barbecue. That's the best barbecue. And, oh, my goodness, it was great. So Todd had to tell me. I was just wandering up there looking at the food, and he comes pulling at me, John, the line is over here. Okay, great, thank you. We negotiated the line, and it was absolutely super califragilisticexpialidocious. That's a word nobody else will use tonight, so I thought I would use it. Anyway, so I'm up here in Lakemont, and I'm thrilled to be here. Let me call the roll. Number two from Jacksonville, North Carolina, sitting out probably – and having a marvelous Cuban cigar and an adult beverage is the one and only Dave Atwell. How are you tonight?
Hey, I am doing outstanding. Everything's going great. Wonderful weather. I'm only batting 500 on the list. I have a cold malt beverage, but I am without cigar from Godfather Cigars today. And why you asked? Glad you asked. Because Dave forgot. He was maybe a football field from Godfather's and took a left when he should have taken a right. And Todd will tell you how Western Boulevard is. Once you pass a certain point on Western Boulevard, there is no turning around. And, passed right on by it, was driving by the cookout, which is about, football field from Godfather's, and the foul language kicked in. And now, granted, there are plenty of other places to buy cigars, some less legit, some a lot less legit, but keeping it real with Eddie, Rodney, and the gang over there at Godfather's, I couldn't bring myself to going anywhere else, so I am cigarless tonight, oddly enough.
Uh-oh.
So,
well, now,
matter of fact,
I
didn't have anything on my humidor, but right before the show, I checked just to make sure the humidor fairy didn't show up and drop me a cigar in there. But,
I'm up here in the land of spirits and fairies, and they haven't brought me anything. I still have my cheap vodka with me, so they didn't bring me anything tonight. So I guess they're on strike. Maybe they're all out at Area 51. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, Dave, we're glad you're here with us. We really are. And never to be forgotten, and always a stellar member of the cast, the one and only Todd Saxon from Indianapolis, Indiana. How are you tonight, my friend?
I am doing outstanding to supernatural, gentlemen. Just ecstatic to be here. Man, all I can say is it's just been a everything right now for me is just work-driven, kind of one of those things. Trying to do everything I can to do that reach back family support stuff, and everything's good. Nothing really of value to fuss about, you know. And that's which all in all, that's a pretty damn good thing if you ask me.
Good thing, yep.
Well, that really is. Yes, Dave.
Yes, no, just agreeing. If you don't have anything to complain about, carry on, you know. That's what the ultimate goal is.
And I try, nothing of value. Look, now, there is something I could complain about. I mean, to a degree. Would it have been great to have been home this last weekend? Damn's right. Monday, my son, Garion, turned 27. They got together with the family, his lovely wife, Casey, and her mom and dad, Teresa and Mike, were there. And then Yuki showed up, brought Condom with her. And they did this potluck. Oh, good grief. And a quality potluck, you know, where people bring their A game. Boy, you can't go wrong, man. I saw this. Garion took time to smoke some ribs. I did one batch sticky, one batch dry rub. Ah, man, he's getting good. I'm digging it. The Yuki did up a big, what some of the, say, like the Cambodians and might think of as a hot pot. It's what the Japanese call sukiyaki. Beef and all kinds of veggies in it. The more you cook and you cycle through it, the better the broth gets. And Teresa made up a bunch of ponzit, stuff like that. The damn picture that they sent me wasn't even scratch and stiff. I guess I probably would have gone and lost my mind had it been, but had that picture been scratch and stiff. Yeah, but man, you know, what a spread on that table. Holy smokes.
Well, you'd have been smart to just go to Starfire Barbecue if it looked that good. That's
Sugar Fire.
Sugar. Oh, yeah, heck yes. That is the best stuff. And those collard greens were great. So next time you go up there,
man, yeah.
wave at them and tell them I said hello because I'm missing it. And next time you come back, Todd, I'm going to make you some Alabama white sauce for your mesquite smoked corned beef?
Brisket.
For your brisket.
There, no doubt about it. It'll be the mesquite out. We'll be doing some smoking, and I think we're definitely going to do our own take on pastrami. We're going to get that corned beef out there on the smoker, and probably some ribs as well.
That's right. You get those ribs going. I'll get some sauces going. I'll bring some Maurice's. I will bring some strawberry chipotle barbecue sauce from the Haywood Smokehouse. I'll bring about five incredible sauces for that barbecue, and they'll all be gone. The sauce is better than the beef sometimes, or the pork, I'll tell you that. So we'll have us a great time doing that, and you better come down soon so we can do it, or we're going to miss it too much. So anyway, I'm glad we're all in good shape, doing well. Now, our first order of business, and we started discussing this right before the show started, and I said, stop, guys, this is too good. This is too good. We got to have a little bit of talk about dear old Area 51. Dave, you started with a story, and then Todd, you had one, and so let's do it in that order. Tell us about Area 51, as they say, down in Charleston. Dave? What
oh, I'm sorry.
Older lady?
Yeah, that was the only, from what I understand, that was the only incidence of anyone charging the actual installation was some lady in her 80s that just simply walked right up to the guard and said, hey, I'm 80-some-odd years old. I've got nothing else going on. I just thought it'd be fun. And that was it. So, I mean, it was a lot of what was the name of the film, Much Ado About Nothing? and I would imagine that young man who ran his mouth on Twitter and had the idea because, you know, and he even said it in an interview week before last, and I wish I could have been a fly on the wall, you know, because apparently this young man had made a wise-ass comment on Twitter, and, you know, over the following days, he had a couple friends liking it and, you know, adding a comment. He said that one night he went to bed and got up the next morning, and his phone was blowing up. His email was going crazy. He had like 2,000 likes on it, and he said this thing just suddenly, you know, grew wings and took off. So I imagine he's probably breathing a long, long, happy sigh of relief right now, knowing that nothing went down, because I cannot imagine how far up his posterior the government would have gone had something really gone down. So, but, you know, I've never shared this with you guys, and if I may, Area 51, you know what my theory is on Area 51?
What is that, Dave?
No, Dave, what is your theory on Area 51?
My theory, and I'm serious on this, on Area 51, is that it's a decoy. It's a decoy. They have random stuff out there to make you think something's going down. It's Area 52. Where in hell
hello, I told you that a long time ago.
Has got everything. I mean, it's almost like, you know, 51's the one that they make known to keep all the knuckleheads going to it. And as long as you act like it's super secret, you know, you've got the upper hand, because they're not even thinking. For all you know, all the secret stuff that they have that supposedly is in Area 51 is probably sitting at the Smithsonian or at some bus station in Virginia or something right now, because nobody would think to look there. So
yeah, not that they don't do, not that they don't still do stuff. They have what, since it had initially been said to be closed down, various overhead photos that have shown larger airfield stuff like that. But I'm absolutely with you. I think that's definitely the smoke.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, here's the deal. In my travels, I know where some of the stuff really is. Nowhere near Area 51.
Hold on, John. You got to get clear again. Get where you're clear, brother.
Okay, what I was saying is, in my travels, I have some strong ideas on where stuff is being sequestered, and it's not Area 51. I'm telling you that. So, and yes, all you men in black and ladies in black listening in, no, I'm not going to say where it is. You know I know where it is. I'll never say it. But it's not in Area 51. It's just not. And but anyway, and I got to share a story with you guys. It's a personal story about my own similar adventure as the young man had who started the Storm Area 51. Okay? The story starts a little bit slow, and then it ramps up, and it's really kind of cool. This happened 2 years ago. I had just run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. We had 504 people show up. It was wonderful. And then I said, you know, there's no Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We need to do one. So I set up a Facebook page, said Georgia Bigfoot Conference coming soon, Northeast Georgia. So then I get a phone call from my buddy Matt, who helps me out on some Bigfoot adventures and stuff. He said, John, you know that page you put up? I said, yeah. He said, it's got 57 likes. And people are starting to ask, well, when's the conference going to be? I said, well, let me get to that. I'll get to it shortly. So about a month and a half later, he calls me up. John, there's 141 people who have liked that page, and they're getting pissy. They want to know when and where the Georgia Bigfoot Conference is. I said, oh, okay, well, I better set it up tomorrow. He said, that'd be a real good idea. So I start calling, and I could find no place to hold it in North Georgia, none whatsoever. And I looked on there, and there were some not unkind, but a little bit, well, what's going on here? Is this thing for real? And I really hated to embarrass myself. So I made this phone call. I made a list of about 12 different places to hold events in Northeast Georgia. I called every one of them up. I waited 48 hours, and one person called me up. That was Annie Williams from the Raven County Civic Center. She said she was really interested in a Bigfoot conference because her son loves Bigfoot. Bingo. And I said, okay, and I signed some document, and I sent her a deposit. And 2 weeks later, she called me up. She said, have you seen the front page of the Clayton Tribune? I said, no, I haven't even been to Clayton. She said, you're on the front cover with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. I said, what? She said, you need to get down here, John. I said, I'm coming in the morning. I got in my car, came down. Sure enough, it was the talk of the town. And we've sold out twice there. We're half sold out now for this second one. And all I've got to say is I know what Mr. Area 51 went through, that all of a sudden something went viral and he wasn't ready for it, but he needed to get ready for it like I tried to. And I'm up here in what is now one of my favorite places in the world, Clayton, Georgia, and Lakemont, Georgia, dear old Raven County. And everybody likes Bigfoot, and we have a great time. And I'm up here way in the North Georgia mountains every time I come up here in the most frightening spot in America, and I'm just waiting for Bigfoot to knock on my door again like it happened a month ago. So that's what happens when you put a good idea up on Facebook. It can go viral, boys. End of my story. Over one, two, born.
Alrighty then. Not too shabby. It's an ongoing thing. It's awesome that that one has definitely worked out, man.
Well, it really has, and we've been pretty darn nice about it. We just got word that at Uwari Bigfoot Conference, which, as you know, that is where they filmed Finding Bigfoot, the Uwari Bigfoot Conference, November the 3rd, Matt Moneymaker's decided he's coming. He's the star of Finding Bigfoot. I mean, people are getting clues about these things, and we're going to have some good times. So, of course, we'll have good times with Comic-Cons, because Dave and I have got to get busy and get the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con finalized. Don't we, Dave?
Yeah, I'll talk to you later on in the week about that. Might have a little better we'll talk on that.
We'll get that going. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting how events, good events happen and bad events fail and good events just get better. So we're excited. So now we talked about Comic-Cons, we talked about Georgia Bigfoot, we talked about Area 51. Now, Dave,
can we go back to that?
Yeah, we can go back to anything you want, Todd. What you got to say?
All right, so here's what I was saying. Well, one of the things, Priest, that we had just mentioned, one, I thought, you know, business side, we know how that blew up and it was getting press and that. I wonder how many press organizations sent people out there and came back and said, man, that was the worst use of per diem ever.
Yeah. Send old Jim Cantore.
You gotta figure.
It wouldn't be the worst use of it, Todd. I mean, it'd be kind of fun to have been out there. I've never been there.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, for the press organization being that, you know, there was nothing that was going to bleed that was going to lead. So, you know, that part was interesting. On the flip side of that.
Well, Todd, hold on. If they'll cover the Democratic Party and the impeachment, this has to be better than that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It seems like there was a lot more going on with the whole Area 51 thing than there was with the Ukrainian phone call, as far as that goes. But I do wonder how many parents use that opportunity when that kid in their basement went out to Area 51 to change all the locks on the doors.
Well, there ain't no telling.
That kid, Those kids still living in the basement that decided they could go out to Area 51, pull your brand new locks on the house, come back. Mm-mm. Heck yeah. they probably just went ahead and put, you know, they had the 3-digit number on their house, so they just went ahead, bought an extra one, put it on there, and maybe the person, you know, the kid didn't realize it was the same home.
You are vicious, Todd. You are vicious.
just saying. Yeah. I'm telling you, I lived at 1313 Mockingbird Lane. It's the same house, but it's 1313-1 now. Oh, man. Hey, you remember? I'm sure it would have dumbfounded a bunch of them.
Oh, Todd, Lord. Todd, you missed my favorite address. My favorite address is 0001 Cemetery Lane. Who lives there?
Got to be the Adams family.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's right. We love Herman and Lily Munster. We think Butch Patrick. I mean, I know him a little bit. I see him at Comic Cons. He and I have hung out and had a beer. And I mean, Butch is a super guy. But I'll tell you what.
There's
just something incredibly special about the Adams family. And Cleopatra, the man-eating plant, and Morticia. Morticia stole the show. By the way, are you aware that while Carolyn Jones was filming The Addams Family, she was in stage 3 and stage 4 cancer and terrible cancer?
Great.
Are you aware of that?
I have no idea.
I didn't know it.
Yeah, I mean, she was in stage 3 and then stage 4 cancer. That's why the show was canceled. They could not replace Carolyn Jones. Nobody could replace her. I mean, then they got, at least they got Angelica Houston. She may have been a pale shadow of Carolyn Jones, but she's pretty damn good in those movies now. I'll tell you that. But we love the Addams Family. We really do. And just such incredible. And by the way, I heard, because I am, so that everybody will know, I can't tell the address, but I am staying on Far Side Drive in Lakemont, Georgia. And I've heard the Far Side is back.
Really?
What, the comic
strip? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Back and getting re-syndicated. I mean, it was massively popular. I mean,
Larson was huge.
I know we all have our favorite Far Side. I'll tell mine, and then you guys got to tell yours. My favorite one is the dude opens the refrigerator door. And there's a bowl of potato salad there, standing up with 2 6 guns pointed at the guy. And it says, "When potato salad goes bad." I love that. That is like, because that's what all my grandmother ever said. Well, potato salad's going to go bad. You got to eat it. All right, Todd, what's your favorite Far Side? Can you remember one?
Oh man, there are so many. I think probably one I keep laughing about. There's a couple of them. Man, golly, I just had like 5 visions go through my head of various ones. We'll go with. It's got 2 of the old frontier cavalrymen up there on the edge of one of those old frontier forts, the wood picket fort. And there's a bunch of arrows, you know, stuck into the side of it, and one of them stuck under the guy's forehead, and they're all the arrows with the suction cups on the end. He goes, "Egads, not those Indians."
Gary Larson is a twisted man. I mean, they had some good stuff.
All right, Dave, do you have one that you remember?
Oh, God, I'm like Todd. I had a bunch of them run through my head. There was, of course, the one with the cows, where the cows are out in the pasture smoking cigarettes, shooting the breeze and
exactly
everything.
Exactly the other one I was thinking. Exactly.
Yells, "Car!" And they all get down and start munching on the grass when the car drives by.
Oh, no. I was thinking of the different one. They were,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's got a bunch of them standing out behind the barn smoking, and they go, where beef jerky comes from.
Well, the one that reminds me a lot of that is all the dinosaurs are smoking cigarettes, and it says why dinosaurs became extinct.
Yeah. And then there's the one where they've got Mike's Dingo Farm right next to Diane's daycare, and across the bottom it says trouble brewing. And
yeah. How can you forget the school for the gifted with the kid trying to push on the door and the door says pull?
I think my favorite one of his, though, hands down, was the Tarzan one. Tarzan's up in a tree, and the little thought bubble's coming off his head, and he's going, hi, Jane, how are you? Next one says, hey, Jane, how are you doing? Then the third frame, he's standing there scratching his head, he's going, good afternoon, Jane, it's good to see you. And then on the fourth one, Jane swings in on the branch and he goes, me Tarzan, you Jane. And off the side of his little thought bubble, he's going, damn. Where he totally blew the whole line, you know. Larson had some sick stuff, though. He was, and that guy had so much. He wasn't one of these guys that just did it for, you know, two or three. I mean, this guy had everything between calendars and books and a daily comic strip. How that guy was able to come up on all these things is beyond me. I mean, just hilarious. But that'd be neat if that comes back around. That's one that's been missed.
Well, I miss, but you see, every week when I come up to Lakemont, I get to stay on Farside Drive, and Bigfoot's up here. Dog Man's up here. My friends are up here. It's just crazy. So, I mean, you know, could there be a more perfect place for me to hang out than Farside Drive in Lakemont, Georgia? Never.
I remember the other one when the crow is getting the phone call and he has the phone up against his head and he goes, hey, Jim, phone call. phone call, because he's a crow.
A phone call.
I like it.
Oh, God.
Just remember, when potato salad goes bad,
he's holding the place up because the salad went bad.
Yeah, he got his gun pointed at the dude opening the refrigerator door.
Yeah. Oh man. And there were just so many of them. A lot of people would have that thought for the day calendar on their desk. Those little single one, yeah. You know, those little single pull away calendar things. Man, the old Master Guns with the Far Side one. I was like, oh, Master Guns, good to go. You know, you just knew. You know, not as philosophical stuff, anything like that. Not that that's bad or anything. I like that stuff too. But man, he just had the Far Side on there. I was like, oh yeah. Oh, Mike, he was a trip.
The only bright spot you had in the day was one calendar piece, you know.
Well, I can tell you, Gary Larson's spirit has to be behind the creation of the Chick-fil-A calendar and the cows.
Oh, yeah, the whole eat more chicken thing and all that.
I mean,
PETA
has not come after him yet. PETA, don't be listening to this show now. But PETA has not come after them yet for that. I can't believe it.
Yeah, they know Chick-fil-A has. That's why.
Hmm?
I said they know Chick-fil-A has connections.
Right.
They're some lightning bolt shoot through their ass. That'll learn them.
Yeah, they got the best chicken noodle soup on the planet. Is what they got. That's anything PETA's got. But I'm sorry, we're gonna get sued now. I can just feel it. I'll feel the lawsuit tomorrow.
Yeah, that was another Gary Larson was, one where he
I didn't
the,
say it. Wasn't me.
He had the two Mayan guys, and the guy's got the great big stone, round stone, and he tells the other guy, he says, "Hey, man, check out this calendar I made. I finally ran out of room in 2012. And the other one says, "Yeah, everybody's going to freak out come that year." And that was the year that everybody was thinking that the Mayan calendar said it was the end of time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sick, man. Good stuff.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's too
funny. The unintended tangent, not too shabby. I like it.
Truth be told, though, with the level of intellect with today's youngins, man, I'd be surprised if he was even a hit now just because they don't get it.
I guarantee you, there are most of the unionized teachers ain't smart enough to understand it. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the millennials. Okay. I'm getting ready to get blown up here, but the millennials and the far left liberals just have no sense of humor. You got to be able to laugh at yourself if you want to. You know, I laugh at myself all the time. I see how ridiculous I am, and you know, I don't think when we tell jokes on ourselves that we're trying to be mean. We're not. If you can't laugh at yourself, then something's wrong with you, Nancy
you
Pelosi.
Yeah.
And it's a fact. You got to laugh at yourself. I mean, even Donald Trump can tell jokes on himself. And then the liberal media gets all bent out of shape about that. You know, I mean, they'll start an investigation on a joke he'll make about himself. And that's just so silly. I mean, I thought we were trying to grow up, and I guess we weren't.
I'm trying to generally avoid much of the politic talk tonight because I'm just like, it's just damned absurd. And
it is.
Despite all the media drive, despite the cute that they call it the Democratic Party, and you know, it can't be called Democrats anymore. That's got negative connotations. So we're going to quit calling it shit, and we're going to start calling it crap again, and nobody will notice that it still stinks.
We will.
You know, and they're single-mindedness, but the polls far and wide with the public, as you know, by the way, they're like, "You're kidding me, impeach Trump?" And then Hillary with her freaking shit saw out there, impeach him. He beat me.
Yeah.
And it's like she's ignoring that her skeletons that are no longer in her closet are just laying out there. Holy shit.
Yeah, the 60 some odd mysterious suicides and homicides that have happened were connected.
You got one big skeleton, and he stands up there and calls himself Bill.
Yeah.
When they wanted to take all these people down for the sexual predators, if you will, man, the Teflon freaking Clinton, you know, all the people, everybody, why didn't they just look at the impeachment process for those that went after him and those that voted against it and just start trouncing all of them? Hell no. Hell no, they couldn't do that.
It wasn't
convenient for them.
It's mind-numbing watching them go at it. And the darndest thing about it is, you know, they're carrying on about impeachment. You know, the United States has a chance to impeach this guy in another 13 months. But if you watch, and I can't watch him, I try because, you know, to be honest with you guys, yes, I am conservative. I do have a little bit of moderate mixed in there on certain views and everything. But, you know, I try to get both sides of the story on things. I always try to, you know, to make my own mind up. I don't need the Rush Limbaughs of the world or the Nancy Pelosi's of the world telling me what to think. I'm a big boy. I can do it on my own. But I do like to be informed from both sources, and then I'll make my call. And what I find amazing about the Democratic Party is how they're so knotted up with the, I don't want to say it, the hot button stuff. They lack the ability to look at the big picture on things. And, you know, if you flip through the history books, especially United States history, and read what we've gone through, all right, and dare I say this, that Canada, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, voted in, they went through their trouble of voting in a cool president, a guy who looked good, you know, and we went through the same thing with Obama, the guy that was super friendly, talked good, played the saxophone on David Letterman, you know, did Pokemon Go on his phone, you know, the hip guy, but he couldn't lead. And Canada went through the same thing with Trudeau. Get the guy who embraces all walks of life. He loves this. He loves that. He loves this. Well, all of a sudden, they've started digging up dirt on that guy. And now, who's leading the polls in Canada? The conservative side. And, you know, to me, it's just, it's incredible. If I was a Democrat right now, I would be so ripping pissed. Because we are so busy, I say we, if I was a Democrat, we, are so busy carrying on about the small stuff that we're missing out on the big stuff. Nobody's really concentrating. I mean, they get Joe Biden, and the whole time that Trump was running, everybody kept saying, damn, if Papa Joe would have run, we would have run this, would have won the election, right? Well, then Biden, who's, you know, Civil War survivor, if I'm the guy, I wouldn't run just because of my age, just because I don't need the damn stress in my life and shorten up what life I got left. Nevertheless, the guy's got enough sack to run, and the first thing that happens to him is that he's assassinated socially, verbally, whatever you want to call it, not by the conservative side. It ain't the Rush Limbaughs or the Fox Newses that are assailing this guy. It's his own freaking party. And, you know, he gets up there and you know, what's her name? I can't remember her name. Warren. Oh, man. I mean, if there's somebody, when Hillary Clinton dies and somebody needs to be full of it the most on the planet, it'll be Elizabeth Warren. I mean, what a just, she's another one of those associated people that no matter where she is, if she's in a room full of clowns, oh, I have a red rubber nose in my pocket. I used to be a clown. And she just tries to fit in with everything. Yeah, it's all disingenuous. And then you've got Bernie Sanders, okay? Bernie Sanders, Mr. Impossible, and we've spoken on this before, when he talks about free college, all right? Now, let's talk about free college, all right? So to throw free college education, it's not just about saying, hey, we're going to have free college education. Now you're taking on the NCAA, all right? March Madness is gone. Why? Because you can't pay the coach pays. You can't pay the coach's salaries. You can't build the big arenas. you can't sell the jerseys. Why? Because the institution is now a free-run educational institution. So, in the meantime, you think you're fixing everything by having free college. But on the flip side, if you were to shut down the NCAA over it, for every guy that sells beer, for every guy that sells jerseys, for every cowboy that works for the university, for every announcer, for every grocery store that runs Mark Madness sales, they lose.
The parking lot, the people that look for every sporting event, the people that sell all the different parking.
Right. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it goes back to that whole minimum wage hike. Hey, you know, I want to make $15 an hour. I'll call out twice a week, but I want to make $15 an hour. Where do you think that money's going to come from? So they'll pay you $15 an hour, but they'll jack the prices up by 10-15%. So that 8% damn increase you got don't mean a damn thing. And people just don't have, unfortunately, on the left, and there's some on the right that are the same way. I can't categorize. I can't paint that wide of a brush. But they lack the ability for the big picture. How much is it going to affect overall? And to be honest with you, regardless of whether you're a Trump guy or not, let's face it, the Dow has shot up to 27,000 points. We haven't had a whole hell of a lot of terrorist acts in the United States or around. That's really gone silent. Old Long Duk Dong over there in East Korea, he's shut his mouth. He quit the saber rattling. Now he wants to talk nicey. You know, all this stuff, you know, unemployment is at what, like a 50-year low? It hasn't been, unemployment hasn't been this low since like World War II or something that I heard. You can't deny that. And if it takes having Trump in the seat to continue that trend, I don't have a problem with voting for the guy. Last thing I want is the Dow to drop back to 17 grand that it was on the Obama watch. Last thing I want is hearing about guys flying planes into damn random objects around the United States. I don't want to hear that. Yeah. You know, and just, I don't know, to me it's just strange that these people on the left can't stop the infighting and just the childish hatred to realize what's really going on. And you can't tell me that the Bidens of the world and the Warrens of the world and all them aren't benefiting from the Dow going up 27,000 points. You can't tell me that either. So that's my piece. Sorry it was long. I got on my soapbox.
No, you did. Actually, you did good. You kept it right around the 6-minute range. And you even paused for a breath. The boy. All right, well, hold on here. I think we're supposed to do a commercial break at 20 minutes after. So what I want to bring up to you is for all your local locksmiths, I hope you guys made good money when all these kids living in basements went out to Area 51. Brought to you by your local Chamber of Commerce. For all those parents that changed the locks on the house so that kid could come back and live in their basement.
Okay. And Dave, we want to give a spot to the world's greatest pressure washing company. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Just Home of the Brave pressure washing for your house cleaning, driveway cleaning. We do commercial, residential. And truth be told, this time of year when the leaves start falling out of the trees, a lot of times pressure washing isn't just getting the crud off the side of your house. It's cleaning off pine needles and leaves and whatnot, because believe it or not, when that stuff sits on your house and leans up against your house, it will rot, and the moisture that it builds up under it and everything. So we have no problem with going out there and simply blowing off the debris, and it's a quick process, low price, and you will have a much cleaner and long-lasting home. So that is it. Home of the Brave Pressure Washing right here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Look us up on Facebook.
Rock and roll. And I'll go ahead and add the other spot for the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, October 18th through the 20th in Clayton, Georgia at the Raven County Civic Center. It's going to be a blast. I'm telling you, be there, be square, be cool, no fool. It's going to be great. Georgia Bigfoot Conference, starring the Sasquatchers, starring Dr. Igor Burtsev, Robin McCray Haynes, Janice Carter, and the list goes on and on and on. And down there at the bottom is, of course, Dr. John. But we'll see you at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. That's GeorgiaBigfootConference.com. Thank you, Todd, for reminding us. And now back to the news.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty subtle. The
it's probably those, Bigfoot,
and there are other things that would.
15-pound rock, okay?
You know, it's kind of funny. I found myself in a moment the other, within the last few days, where I'm not the biggest fan of the IRS, but I'm a big fan of Americans paying their taxes. Don't get me wrong. I know, you know, I think most people can probably grasp the difference on that. We watched during a certain president's tenure. What organizations were clearly sicked on by the IRS. I mean, that was just crazy. But the you watch it, so business practices. So this thing came up. I have it by, I'll call it my whistleblower. A local restaurant there in Jacksonville. While I don't know that they took the tax exemption for the tips, so that they could pay, you know, the lesser rate for their wait staff. Because if you know how it is, some of you may or may not know the. You can, if you're not taking this tax exemption, then you're allowed to, which means your wait staff ends up getting paid more. You know, that then you're allowed to, and of course, that's out of your pocket taxes, all that kind of thing. Then you're allowed to pull the tips and fair share that thing, you know, the, you know, some goes to kitchen staff, baristas, you name it, that kind of stuff. But there's this one place there in Jacksonville has been skimming tips for a while, asking for $10 per wait staff member per shift for the kitchen staff. That's a chunk of change. And in Jacksonville, I assure you, $10, you know, that's more than an hour of most people's pay. In that part of the country, that really is. It's a lot of that entry level stuff out there. It just is. So they've been doing that. So now they wanted to go to, we're going to take 25% of your tips. So we're going to see what's going to happen here, because I may very well find myself questioning people like the, you know, state revenue, investigate the restaurant, stuff like that. And it's kind of funny because, and I really don't feel bad about the thought, because my first thought was, man, could end up causing the place to be shut down. But this person told their wait staff, per my whistleblower, I don't care if I have to shut down the restaurant. That's fine. You may not care if you have to shut down the restaurant and sell it for somebody else. But when you got the state revenue coming, climbing through your innards, that'll prove interesting, because there's a particular skeleton in that closet that I might come out just, again, interesting. So we do that, but there's a, you know, there's, that's one of those independent businesses that's, you can just see it just not going well, and yet there's independent businesses like Home of the Berry Power Washing that I'm going to sit there and support, and Diamond Interior Cleaning. Dr. John, you'll remember that's we were there for Thanksgiving at Nick and Jess's place. That's Jess's business.
Yep.
So, thoughts, you know, go ahead and give some love out there that way, just that kind of thing. Just, hell, I guess we started plugs early. The Diamond Interior Cleaning, trying to get some love out that way. And I'll let you all know if I think I should continue my rant on this other place and continue to start dropping dimes on them a little bit on the air, and whether I'll go ahead and, as much as I wonder about that Jacksonville newspaper, I may get them into trying to check it out, or as well as the local chamber of commerce, things like that, check this particular business out. Because I tell you what, if they're doing the wait staff like that, hey, they're taking away from state revenue when they're doing stuff like that. And we all know we all pay too much taxes for somebody not to pay their taxes in that
yep.
state. And, oh, just for the record, yay, this year they don't get any of my money in that state. God, no. Last year I had to share it with two states. This year I'm only sharing it with one state. Wise money still
filing,
goes there, but mine ain't.
Yeah, filing two states is, I found that out when I went to work with a certain company here recently.
Oh, yeah, you did some time up in another state, didn't you?
Yeah, had to go to Virginia Beach for the training. Oddly enough, you know, passed dozen other stores on the way up there, but I had to go to Virginia Beach to train, and lo and behold, I get a W-2 from the state of Virginia, or better yet, the Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and that was I said, and I mean, it was for 6 weeks worth of work. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And bigger than anything, yeah, had to file, which cost another, you know, how, you know, when you file electronically, you got to pay to do so. And, yeah, had to turn around and pay the state of North Carolina and the state of Virginia their little fee for filing electronically when the, you know, it was like $2,500 worth of earnings, if that, on the Virginia side, and still had to pay the $45 or whatever. I just, yeah, I'm still ready for a flat tax, but much like the Bernie Sanders thing, you would have to, the flat tax makes so much sense, but the way things are structured right now, it would be such an upheaval. I mean, you know, the Waltons and, you know, the crowds like that, oh, Jesus, a flat tax would have them in a total tizzy. So to be able to install that and have it work, God, it would take 100 years. You know what I mean?
And the sad part is it should be relatively easy. But it's just, you know, we got a way of doing things where we just want to pile law on top of law on top of law instead of purging the current law and completely replacing it, completely superseding it with something new. They just can't do that.
Yeah, modernizing it. You know, it's
I don't know. There's still some good laws, like where you can beat your wife on the courthouse steps on Sunday mornings, that kind of stuff. I mean, what's wrong with that? What is that, Tommy? I got to move there. Because I, frankly, my wife would be whooping my ass every other day of the week, and the, you know, in other places. But that's, you know, that's a whole other story.
You get to beat her one day, she beats you the other 29.
Right. That boy, that would be my lot in life. All right, good to go. Just, you know, welcome to another just off the wall tangent. Happy Wednesday,
exactly.
Guys. Hey, welcome to fall, by the way. Welcome to fall.
Yeah. Humpty Dumpty had a great one.
Man, no, we had our weather the last few mornings have actually been fall-like. It's been really nice. In fact, I'm going to check my weather here in a moment and see if it's I tell you what, I think I am just about, man, it went up a degree. What the hell? I was thinking I was going to open the windows, stuff like that, and turn off my AC, and what the heck? Went up to 72.
Fall is great, though. Fall's got to be the best season. I mean, spring and fall are the best two seasons, of course, because it's not the extreme of either weather type. But, you're not dealing with the pollen. You're not dealing with the bees. You're not dealing with all that garbage going on. Man, fall's just good. So what if I got to rake up a couple leaves? You know, I mean, it's fall's just the best. If you want me to get active, fall's the type of year. I mean, it's when it's 119 degrees outside is when I'm crawling under a damn shady tree somewhere and curling up.
You're fussing and complaining right now. My brother sent me a picture Monday was the first day of fall, I guess, and yesterday was first full day, but Monday he sent me a picture. He had 104 in the shade. He sent me a picture. He had 102 in the shade today.
Nah, the hell with that. Nope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nope.
Pretty much. That stuff sucks. You know what? I've been looking out the windows waiting to see it because we're just now really getting some of those cooler mornings. We really are. I don't mind it. It's been, you know, mid to high 80s during the day, pushing 90, that kind of stuff as of late, much later in the year than normal up here. But, you know, I don't mind the 80s. It's nothing. There's no humidity up here to speak of as a day-in, day-out basis. But looking out the windows, and I realized, man, we're hitting late September, and there was no hint of color change in the trees at all yet.
No
hint whatsoever. And up here, you know, unlike down there, Dave, we've got things other than pines up, you know, around us. We got much more, you know, not everything's coniferous as far as trees go. We got more of the deciduous, I guess. I'm waiting for that. When I look out the 21st floor and I look out there and I see the area outside the loop and it starts going to a bunch of those, the woods and stuff like that. I'm waiting to see those pretty colors. It is a hell of a view from the window there at work. It is a hell of a view.
Up here in Georgia, and it's still as hot as it can be, and we don't get any of that, but it's all good. And
Georgia never cools off. Even in the wintertime, Georgia's hot.
You know, Georgia wasn't real bad. The Iowa State, I worked down there. When did I get there? I got there in 86, left there 87. I tell you what I remember. Now, mind you, I was in more southern Georgia. Boy, was the friggin' gnats I think the gnats were the state bird for Georgia. Holy crap. Man. Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah, the
sure
bugs
enough.
Actually the bugs out here tonight really aren't bad. Normally, you know how it is when I'm doing the show outside, and there have been times the insects have shoved me back indoors while doing the shows, but I haven't had anything tonight, which is nice because it's a mild night. There's no wind. It's not cool. It's it's just a pleasant, I guess is the word you're looking for, night. And
just for the record, it looks like you're at 74 degrees, 2 mile an hour wind, and actually what is low for there, 78% humidity.
Yeah, and that's where it gets you. As long as that humidity chills out, it ain't bad. Once that humidity gets in there and, everything is, just that feels like you're being waterboarded, your balls are sticking to your leg, everything's falling to pieces when that humidity kicks up. And
it's just where the dew point is with that humidity that really, boy, can make some brutal days.
Yeah, it just makes it miserable as hell. Before we get too late, here's the homework assignment. This was to change gears totally. Before the show, I was speaking on a conspiracy theory that I wanted to, in the sports world, that I wanted to.
Oh, you had something.
Oh, yeah. Now, what was your conspiracy theory, Dave?
All right. Here is the homework, okay? And it's kind of a two-portion thing, so bear with me. Number one, watch Monday night and Thursday night games. Have you noticed that the amount of flags thrown on those nights are absolutely through the roof? Okay.
Okay. First off, you're operating that I will actually watch those things. See, while I'm sure I could find something online, remember, I have no form. I do not have an antenna. No, I don't have that. I have can't do that. I can kind of ask around and get some.
Well, trending wise,
general opinion,
the flag's been crazy, but then you watch a game on Sunday and they just let them play. All right. Now here's my thing. If you make a game last 4 hours on a Sunday, let's say you're a ref and you're constantly throwing flags on a 1,300 game. What are you doing? You're screwing up a lot of stuff. You're screwing up network schedules. You're screwing up NFL schedules. You're screwing up a lot of stuff because you got the 1,300, the 1,600, and the 2,200 game, right? So if you're making a game last 4 hours by throwing arbitrary flags every play, okay, you're fouling up the ebb and flow of a lot of people. But on Thursday and Monday night, you have control of everything. It doesn't matter if those games last until 3 o'clock in the morning from you throwing flags, all right? There's nothing else going on. So what does a four-hour game mean to the NFL? Real easy.
Money.
Exactly. More advertising time because you're constantly pitching flags. Now, the argument would be, like on Thursday night games, a lot of Thursday night games, they marquee lesser.
Wait a minute. How do they get more commercials with the flag? That's not the case. With an injury timeout, yes, but with the flag, no.
Well, my point being is that it's taking longer for the games, which garners more time.
It's overall still generically timeouts and damn did, you know, 2-minute warnings and quarter breaks and stuff like that. And of course, injury timeouts.
So, you know, for me, I'm scratching my head. I'm going, wow, this is, you know, this is odd. Because it seems to me, and tomorrow night, you watch the game tomorrow night, and it's, I know the Packers are playing. I can't remember who they're playing, but nevertheless, Packers are a talented team. Now, when they're throwing flags all over the Buccaneers or the Redskins or something, hey, I get it, because, you know, those teams are not where they need to be right now. They lack their discipline. So, of course, more flags will come out. But when you have better disciplined marquee teams in there, okay, you know, the flags just keep coming out. And it makes you wonder, because like I said, Sunday, you will notice they hardly throw anything. Now, the second branch on that, I'm sure you guys might have read where the ref actually went up to the linebacker from Miami, and told him, take it easy on Tom during the Patriots game. He was actually told by a ref to go, or said, go easy on Tom. All right. So here we go. The conspiracy theory in this. Last year, and it's pretty deep, guys, so bear with me. While I wish I had a whiteboard here, I could do this. It'd help out. But last year, what was the big meltdown with the refereeing in the playoffs? It was the New Orleans-Los Angeles game where they totally blew that call. And Los Angeles was obviously the benefactor of it. Okay? Now,
yeah.
Conspiracy theory. Here we go. You've got New England already in the Super Bowl. All right? So think about the Northeast. Check. And then you've got New Orleans, who's the better team. But you can't have New Orleans win. Why? Small market, low income. But if you have Los Angeles in there, guess what you just did? Not only do you have a big market, but you also have interest now continental. You've got the West Coast, you got the East Coast, because the year before was Philadelphia and New England, where only three states gave a shit about who won. Right? So
right
now, suddenly, you make this odd call, and I call it an odd call. It was a Stevie Wonder call. There's no way Ray Charles could have seen better than that. There's no way in hell that they could have goofed that call up. All right? So now you get your marquee matchup, East Coast versus West Coast. Big market Los Angeles, big market New England. All right? You got what you wanted. Now, of course, you know, poetic justice came into play, and it was the most horrible Super Bowl in Super Bowl history. But, hey, now, taking that back, New Orleans won a Super Bowl. When did they win the Super Bowl? The year the Katrina hit. Hey, isn't that kind of odd? Because they've had the same team with the same talent, same coaches, same quarterback. You know, they've switched over a lineman here or there, or a linebacker, or maybe a receiver here or there. But by and large, it's the same structured team that was there that won the Super Bowl in 2006. All right? But it made good news then. All right? So I know you're sitting there going, come on, Dave. Now, if you watch the NBA.
I'm saying, come on, Dave. I want to hear this. This is great.
The NBA, all right, years ago, and Todd, I think we were doing the fantasy basketball together when this went down, when LeBron first introduced the mega team. Of course, the NBA is run by the players now. It's like a goddamn clubhouse now. The owners have no stroke at all. It's just LeBron getting a couple of his buddies together trying to make the ultimate team. It's just like picking on a kickball team in the NBA nowadays, but that's a whole nother discussion. But nevertheless, you had LeBron, you had Chris James, you had Wade in Miami, big market. And they were playing the San Antonio Spurs, okay? San Antonio, small market. San Antonio is probably not the nicest place on the planet. San Antonio loaded with a bunch of extremely talented but not marketable guys. You know what I mean? So they get in there and they lay Miami to waste first two games. And then all of a sudden in game three, they started getting called for anything. To the point where you're standing there scratching your head going, how in the world the same team who played flawless basketball for the last two games is suddenly getting whistled for everything? So, and then there were calls that weren't being made on Miami's side. One of my favorites, of course, is LeBron James and his constant walking. I mean, that guy never dribbles the ball, nevertheless.
He calls it a crab dribble.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, they weren't calling
it. Just for the record, the last pro player that could actually dribble was Clyde Drexler.
Oh, easy. Easy. That dribbling is a lost art. But suddenly the refs started calling.
Yeah, God, it used to be called carrying a ball, what they do all the time.
Correct. But you know what? It creates excitement. When a guy dunks a ball, people stand up. When a guy shoots one from the arc, people cheer. All right? So dunking that ball is the exciting part. To dunk a ball, you can't do it flat-footed. You have to have somewhat of a running start. And if you're busy dribbling the ball, I don't care if you're 7 foot tall, it still prohibits your ability to put on a show dunk. All right? So the San Antonio thing.
God,
suddenly,
been,
these guys
been a while since Dr. J at the top of the key, just saying.
Oh, yeah. But all of a sudden, San Antonio was getting buzzed for everything. And you could see the frustration, you could see the mystery on their faces where the guys, you know, guys in the Spurs are looking at one another like, what in the hell, you know? But all of a sudden, that series that was cruising towards a 4-and-out had now suddenly turned into a 2-and-2. And then it was a 3-and-2. And then it was a 3-and-3. So the NBA got what they wanted. They got 7 games out of it. Plus, they also managed to get their marquee team, LeBron and the Miami Heat, which was not as talented as the San Antonio Spurs that year, the championship. So when you're watching this and you're manufacturing this in your mind and you're creating the conspiracy theory, all right, and you go to work and you tell guys this the next day, and they go, ah, nah, man, that, you know, that can't be going on. But then years later, you hear where this ref tells a guy, take it easy on Tom. Why do they tell him take it easy on Tom? Because Tom is a marquee guy. You know?
Oh, yeah,
just,
but I mean, I think all that stuff about the refs, especially with the NBA, has long been out of the bag.
So, I mean, I
you
would
know,
like to be.
Let me slide something in here. Just real quick, I went ahead and pulled something up while you were talking. NFL commercials per games.
Uh-huh.
All right. 2008, it was 64.2. All right. It did a tweak to 64.3, 65.3, back down to 64.3 in 2011. And then we got a marketable increase. Again, these are 30-second ads, average number of commercials per game, average number of 30-second per commercials per regular season NFL telecast, not counting NFL Network. All right. So through 2016, again, 2016 did not count NFL Network, 69.8 30-second commercials.
So it's gone up.
Yep. But you're talking it effectively went up. All right. It effectively went up 6 30-second commercials.
So that's 3 minutes, give or take.
Yeah, just short side of that. You know, it's not. You know, it's definitely on the. It's really just over 5.5, but you know, whatever. But close enough, guys. But yeah, but the stats are out there, so we know. Yeah, heck yeah, because And I'm assuming that part of that, and you know how that whole thing I'm doing the averages is we.
Yeah.
There are always these crazy outliers. You got the people buying the 1 minute commercial, stuff like that, that kind of thing, the 45 second routines, all that. It's just yippers.
I mean, could you imagine?
So you're talking 3 minutes.
If the Super Bowl was going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars against,
Let's make it a comedy and say either Detroit or Cleveland.
Well, there you go. All right. Let's throw the Detroit Lions in there, the perennial. Well, let's even throw the Carolina Panthers in there.
Yeah, even on a hypothetical, I can't even get my Cleveland Browns in there. Boy, this sucks.
But the last thing that the NFL wants to see is a Carolina-Jacksonville Super Bowl. Why? It's because it's two small markets, southeast teams. So it's hard for me to believe when you've got guys that go take it easy on Tom that they are not getting instruction somewhere. They are not being pressured, and perhaps they're not getting direct command, but perhaps they're getting the, hey, guys, let's make sure Tom doesn't get hurt. Let's make sure the Patriots are bringing us in a lot of money here. And, you know, the proof of the pudding will be when Tom Brady retires and they get some other schlock in there. And I feel for the guy who takes Tom Brady's place, because no matter what he does, he's going to be shot full. That guy is going to be snake bit from the minute he gets the job.
Well, now, just for the record, there's been a few places that follow-on quarterback has worked. Steve Young worked after Joe Montana. That's the anomaly. What's old boy up there in Green Bay right now?
Aaron Rodgers.
That followed Favre. Boy, he's a hell of a QB. But they're the anomaly. I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, watch New England when Brady retires. And they get some other guy in there. That guy is going to get mauled. And they ain't going to call the first thing on him because it ain't Tom. And like I said, just it's got to make you wonder. It has really
Let me go ahead and laugh about those follow-up quarterbacks. Let me throw this in here. Here I am living in Indianapolis. And, I have heard about it from the Colts fans. Andrew Luck was the next coming.
Yeah.
And damned if he didn't pull that retirement thing. And boy, there was a collective fit of apoplexy when he announced his retirement.
The world came to a standstill, you know.
Boy, there were some people up here up in arms. It was a whole different thing actually being up here. It was kind of neat because I really ain't plugged in like I was before, doing with the sports stuff. And there was no way, not even being plugged in, that I could miss it. And I got some guys. I got another one of those tangents. One neighbor had one of those, boy, about the damn same thing as a damn ShamWow or whatever. It was kind of like those modified bathrobes where you could throw on that would have your team thing or whatever. It was kind of like the thing for the blanket sit around the cold winter time, and they had the NFL team on it. And I got, I had my guy that, my neighbor was like, man, I don't dig this shit. She's like, here's your, you're a guy, you like sports. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm not a Colts guy. What am I going to do with this? I said, oh, I know. I got one of my guys is a big Colts fan. Let me just hand it to him. I was like, this ain't no different than the damn garage sale thing, except cheaper for everybody. And, just watching the Colts through him has just been fun, in its own way. It's just, it's one of those generic things. Man, damn it, Dave, you brought up something as an, oh, by the way, here's a tangent on a tangent. It's been nice not to run a fantasy league in a number of years. It's a lot of headaches away from me. If it won't be interesting to do it up there at work. But damn if it didn't work for us there at work. At that basketball league was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, that basketball league was fun. It took a lot of maintenance, but it was fun. And whatever you do, don't
draft. You ought to be the guy running the league and listening to the fussing across the board. Yes.
Yeah, so far the one I'm commissioning this year, there hasn't been any fussing at all. And it's a money league. Everybody's getting along and everybody's – I got one guy who hasn't paid up, but outside of that, everybody else has been – more than forthcoming with the money and everything. And, it's actually been.
Man, if you only got one guy that hasn't paid up, you are doing outstanding.
Yeah. So, hey, it helps to have a mob background, right?
Right.
So yeah. We're down to that,
man,
7 minutes.
When we had all those pay-to-play leagues. And there are so many free leagues out there now, but that used to be brutal when you would want to be a manager for a league and it would cost you $100 to run the league. And that's years ago that it's down to $100. So I don't even want to know what it costs today. You would do that and you would, you would have your 12 members of the league. And you would charge them $8 a pop or whatever, so that nobody was really having to pay for the league. And you were one of those members, so already you had one non-paying member, that being you.
Right.
And you were falling short trying to do that kind of stuff. And they'd be like, and you get like four guys that would do it. And be like, holy crap.
Yeah, funny thing is about one of my leagues, both of my leagues this year, after the draft, I was picked to go 14-0 in both leagues, right? And oddly enough, the league that I'm the commissioner in, I had Tyreek Hill went out. Drew Brees went out. And Njoku went out. Had Saquon Barkley went out. So I am a robust 0-3 with a bunch of red all over my lineup. And, yeah, I mean, I was predicted to just buzzsaw right through the whole season. And I'm doing good to put up 80 points because of all the injuries. So, yeah, odd how it works. My team is a mass unit.
Wow.
But with all that being said.
Yeah, Jack, look, what? Yeah.
We're at the big 5-minute or less mark if you want to pass around for the plugs.
Well, Dr. John's going to do a plug and then head on to Never Never Land because I got a lot of work to do tomorrow. So Georgia Bigfoot Conference coming up October 18th through the 20th. Raven County After Hour, Business After Hours, sponsored by Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And it's been great for me being here tonight with two of my best buddies. And I'll be back with y'all next week. So I'm going to drop and let you guys wrap it up. Take care, boys.
All right, buddy.
Night, night, Dr. Good John. Have a good evening, brother. Big hugs. All right. Man, we've done a bunch of stuff. All right. Let me throw this one out there. For all those dumb arses that are willing to commissioner any fantasy league, dumbass. The good on you, because we, you know what, it does some good team building stuff, things like that. Look, don't take my issues with pro sports. I can't help college as well, for that matter. Don't take my issues with that level of sports as a thing. They can be, and they were definitely worth doing as far as team building things within your work thing and that. Try to find free leagues if you're willing to do it. Try to find free leagues so it don't cost anybody money. Don't believe me, the smack talk for the win-loss thing and all that has huge value. Value. You know, like, it was some old credit card commercial or whatever that would call certain things priceless. The smack talk value in your workplace, if you're running a league, that kind of thing, that circle of friends and all that, oh, yeah, it's money. Just, you know, preferably just for the record, try to find one that ain't costing you to go out of pocket first. Yes, you have less options with the free ones, that kind of thing, but whatever. It can be a lot of fun, so don't take my negativity on the various, at this point, all sports. But it can be a lot of fun to run the league. You can be jaded on the damn sports, but still have fun with doing that kind of stuff. So it can be beneficial. All right. On you, brother.
Yeah, I actually went out and spent $6 on a condolence card and sent it to Mike's house a couple seasons ago with my deepest sympathy on the ass beating he was fixing to get from me that Sunday. It was the best $6.50 he spent on a stamp. I mean, I mailed it right to his house. You know, it was just epic. But, hey, real quick, my plug is a sad one, but nevertheless, my condolences to loss of an icon this week. Sid Haig passed away, and man, the list of stuff that guy did for the horror community and film is incredible. Sad to hear that he passed at the ripe old age of 80, but nevertheless, sad news. Sid Haig, one of the greats, easy. Sad to hear you go. I hope you're holding a seat for all of us fans. Just like I said, sad to hear him go. But with all that being said, and as I ease back inside from the outdoors and get near the computer to shut things down, Todd, another good show, brother.
I like it.
Hey, let's see. We got 20 seconds. So with that, we'll be saying good night.
from Pop Culture Star side. You take care, brother.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, big hugs, right? Really appreciate those that are out there supporting us more than you know. Big hugs group. It's Liz, Rob, miss you much.
Absolutely, man. Miss having you guys around to add in. But with all that, we will be saying goodnight. Todd, take care. Be careful. Time to hit the rack, brother. And we will talk to you next Wednesday on Pop Culture
Absolutely.
Stars. Good night, everybody.
Waiting for